seats. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and begin reading scriptures. We'll start in Hebrews chapter 4. Just remember those that are out not feeling well today. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll finish this chapter and then move right on into chapter 5. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on men that are out of the way, for he himself also is compassed with infirmities. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And as he saith in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And one more place in the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. You know this one by heart. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I actually want to read the verse before that also. I don't know if she can bring that up very easily, but verse 7, remember them which had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we just want to tell you that we love you this morning. We pray, Lord, that you just find liberty here today. Lord, that you would just move every evil thing away that would hinder your people from being able to be attentive this morning. We just want to give honor to you and ask God that you'd walk up and down the aisles and just touch every heart, those that are present, those that are streaming. We just ask God that you touch everyone and break the bread of life today to your children. You may be seated. We'll title this today, The God Who Is All in All. The God Who Is All in All. We know that the theme phrase, I guess, for the message of the hour is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that verse 7 in front of it, want to throw that in there. Speaking about those who have rule over you, talking about people in ministry speaking the word of God to you, and it said, consider the end of their conversation. So when the preacher stands before you and he preaches the word of God and he tells you all these things and he's bringing you somewhere, where is he bringing you? The end of what he's trying to tell you is to bring you to the revelation that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
Right? And so every preacher that's ever preached. That's what he's trying to get across to the people, because that's the thing that makes you takes you from a sinner to a saint, makes you makes you into a child of God, however you want to say it, is your encounter with the revelation of Jesus Christ, to be able to know that he was yesterday, is today, is forever, that he is the I am, always present. Amen? Yeah. And so that's the end of the conversation. And so I'll say this, all the preaching that's ever done throughout every age, when all these ages are done, the final thing, what they're trying to bring you to, is to for you to understand Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that you can recognize who he was before he came, before today, that you can recognize who he was, you can recognize who he is, which is very important, and you'll also know what he'll be tomorrow. And that's what the whole revelation is all about, to let you know that he is the I am. And so it's so you can know who he is right now.
Right.
Let me ask you, who is he right now? Where is he right now? Right? He's somewhere, and he's doing something. Right? And the revelation of Jesus Christ will show you what that is, will help you to understand what he was many ages ago, what he is today, and what he will be tomorrow. That's the end of the whole conversation that is there. And I think it's striking to me that here we come along to the end time message, which is going to bring us to our body change. And that was a theme. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because this is the final message. That's what it brings us to. It brings us to a complete understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's even positioned in the scriptures at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. That's what God's trying to bring us all to. It's not about me. It's not about you or anyone else. It's about him.
Right.
He is all in all. Amen. And as we talk about this today, you'll find out he is everything.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. If there's anything good in us, it's him.
Right?
If anything good happens today, it's him.
Right.
And we have to be convinced of that. And if you're really convinced of that, then you'll be concerned, right? You'll be concerned about what's going on, because we want all people to come into the encounter of this revelation of Jesus Christ so they might know him, who is life, right? How are you going to live forever throughout eternity if you don't know life? You have to know life. You have to come to that encounter. And so that's what the revelation is. And we know the scripture, we didn't read it, but we've said it many times, where the scripture said that he will provide for himself a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish, any such thing. He will provide for himself. So there's going to be one somewhere. There's going to be a church that's going to be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing, because he's going to provide it for himself. There's going to be one somewhere. And so then all the churches throughout all the ages, at some point in time, there's going to be a church that something's going to happen to them. There's going to be a movement that's going to come over them, come to them, that's going to change them and make them that bride that's without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or anything. And it won't be every church. It's an elect lady.
Right, yeah.
It will not be every church. It won't be everybody that claims to be Christians. It will be an elect lady, and he will move upon her, and something will change her, and she won't be like the rest of the world. She will not be like the rest of the churches. She'll be different, and she'll know she's different. She'll know why she's different, because she will have come into an encounter of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so how happy we are to know God's doing these things in this day. And so there's a church somewhere that's going to be that. Amen. And I hope we're part of it. I believe those who embrace this end time word that God is revealing, that's surely that would be her. And so that change, like I said, that comes upon her is the revelation of Jesus Christ, for her to understand everything that he has been, everything he is now, and everything he will be. That's why the scriptures say he that was and is to come. Right? Look at the parallel. You know, of Satan and his work that comes out of the bottomless pit and goes into perdition and the whole cycle. What they was, what they are, where they go. What they was, what they are now, where they go. Same thing, Jesus Christ. What was he, who is he, and what's hereafter, he that was and is and is to come.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right?
Right? So she comes to know him, this end time bride, and she comes to know him in such great detail that she falls in love with everything about him. Everything about him.
Yeah.
She doesn't stumble over anything about him. He is this Bible, right? He is every movement of God that ever happened throughout all ages to give victory to all the Israel in the Old Testament and all the different things and New Testament during all the ages of Roman taking over, Romanism taking over and martyring all the people and everything. He's in all those things, bringing victory. And so she falls in love with him. Because this revelation of Jesus Christ helps her, she can understand this Bible, which is him. She'll understand these things that people stumble over, and she'll agree with it. She'll be able to look back and see him through history. She'll be able to look and see what he's doing in her day, and she'll know where it's going after this. That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ brings. You've heard us say, Brother Bram was saying, this is the only book that tells you where you come from, why you're here, and where you're going. Right? The scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think concerning you. Right? To bring you to an expected end.
Right.
I think he wants us to know where we're headed so we can have an expectation to it.
Right?
Right? And it involves us understanding his thoughts about us, right? And so we find out that she'll understand these things, and as he reveals these things to her, as she goes back and sees him clearly in scriptures, that's Jesus Christ, she loves him. If he begins to reveal what's happened throughout history, how that God had seven church ages and all the things that throughout the different movements, the lion, ox, man, eagle, all that, she'll love it,
right?
When he begins to unfold the end time message in this day, she'll love it. When she finds out that heaven, that earth is not going to be destroyed, it's just going to be burnt over, and that you understand, she'll love it. Everything about the revelation, she will love it. It'll be her food. It'll be her everything that moves upon her, makes her what she is. It'll be the core of her being when she comes into contact with that. She can't want anything else. And so, in other words, that's all she needs. Once she comes in contact with that, that's all she needs. She doesn't need anything else.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And if these things, as this revelation unfolds, whether it's just knowing the scriptures, how all these things were, and all the typology and all that, if that doesn't strike her heart, she's not the bride.
Right.
It's that simple. Because of natural typology there. That a woman, when she, you know, falls in love with a man who's going to be her husband, then, you know, you understand there. She just, she can't think of anything else. And she can't rest until she's with him. Looking for the day that she can be. And he's the same way about her. So she comes to know every aspect about him. My wife knows me better than anybody except God, right?
Right.
She knows more about me, and there's actually things that I've said recently about things that growing up or whatever, and that she had never heard before because I just had never talked about it. But she knows more about me than anyone does. And my aunt's laughing over there, chuckling about something. She knew me growing up too, right? So she comes to know every aspect about him. You know, when she meets a young man and she's interested in him, she wants to find out where he come from. You know, who is he? Where's he come from? What's going on in his life? What's he been doing? She'll want to know his history, his background. Like I said, where he come from. She'll want to know what his plans for the future are. Right? She'll want to know. Where she'll want to know what he plans to do, where he plans to live, plan to be. Right?
Right.
So the bride of Jesus Christ in this revelation here at the end time, that's exactly the things that is revealed to her.
Yeah.
Have we not found out where he come from?
Right.
Right? He came from eternity. He was the thought of God, spoken and become word of God. That's where he come from, right? We find out where he come from. That's how he got here. He spoke into existence. So he is the Logos, the word. We now look back and we can see what he's been doing. That all that was in God, he poured into Christ, right? That God came down and did all those types of shadows through the Old Testament. We see what he's been doing. We see how he come along and he poured himself into the church in the seven church ages. We see what he's been doing. He's been moving through the ages. We're looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is him. We love it. We don't reject it. We love it, and it's bringing it right down. And so we can see what he's been doing. And now we want to know, and we see it's being revealed to us now what he's doing right now. And it's been revealed to us where he's going, what the future is, a millennium. Right? Same thing that a woman would want to know about her future husband.
Right.
And the last thing that would be there that I think I could add to that is knowing all these things about where he come and what he's doing and what his future is going to be and where he's going to be is who he's going to spend it with.
Right.
And that's the greatest thing. Then in all of this, that God will help us to understand that we are going to be with him in all that. Right? Because when you find out all the details about a man, you're going to find out what he likes and what he would want in a wife.
Right?
Right? That's right, brother. This is all these things, what the message is telling us. That you can see what is in a man's heart by look by, you see, what kind of woman. And so that's why these things come along. And the Lord, through this message, has made it clear. Here's the kind of bride he's looking for. She's not going to be this worldly thing, bebopping and rock and roll half-dressed. That she's going to be this holy bride walking to onward Christian soldiers. That's who she's going to be. And so he's showing us that we can understand who he is and who we are because we're part of him. Amen. So she gets to know him, everything about him. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the message. That's why it's got that theme. And so one of the aspects of the revelation that we get to, I say that humbly, believing that we would be the bride. One of the aspects of the revelation of Jesus Christ is for us to understand just how much human he was. When he was here. Just how much human. And the fact that he came in flesh and why he came in flesh and then what he endured while he was here in flesh and how he overcame when he was here in flesh and to find out that he is our example. So that we can understand how much he was like us so we can understand how much we're like him. Because he was human. We know he was God, but he was all man. He suffered all the things that we could suffer. Right? He endured all the things that Satan could throw at us. He had all those things. He wasn't, we know, like I said, and thinking that he, you know, that knowing that he's God, and somehow we just keep him sitting up here thinking, well, you know, it wasn't that big a deal for him to walk this earth in flesh because he was God. No, he was human. And you don't suffer anything that he didn't already suffer too. Right? You have to understand the scripture says, you know, that he went through all these things, and so he knows how to help us. Right? He does. He went through those things, and so he was all human. And so we can, in knowing this and understanding how much human he is, then we can realize that he's right down here where we were, or where we are, and if he can do it, so can we. Especially with his redemption, his help. But he overcame as a man. Sure, he was God, but you have to understand this is how God can come down. God can come down and be everything because he's all in all. So God came down to live in the flesh, to be kinsman redeemer. So for him to be kinsman, he had to be able to feel it like we feel it. Suffer it like we suffer it. Right? Be fearful like we're fearful. He had to have all of those things, or else he's not our kinsman. If he cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, then he can't be. So he came down and suffered all these things. Amen. To show us how much he was like us, so we can understand that we're in the same category he is. Very, very slight difference, which we'll talk about in a moment here. But for you to understand who you are, that you can overcome just like he did. Amen. He was fully man. As the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, he himself suffered being tempted. He suffered being tempted. The devil could tempt him. Not just temptation there in the wilderness to, you know, to cast himself down or turn stones into bread. Not just that. But he was tempted in all things. And Hebrews 4:15 said he was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin.
Right.
Yet without sin. Let me remind you a great bombshell that God gave to us in this message. Sin is unbelief.
Right.
Yeah. Sin is unbelief.
Right.
He was tempted in all points. You know, we come from a background thinking that when Satan came to him with lust, that it wasn't a problem for him. No, there was a temptation there. You have to understand, he was tempted. How could it be a help to us if it really didn't bother him? You understand what I'm saying? It was a temptation. Because thank you. Because this thing is really giving me troubles today. He was tempted just like we are. And so, yet without unbelief.
Right.
And you know, we say sin is attributes of unbelief. That's right. You commit adultery because you don't believe. Or you steal because you don't believe. Right? Attributes of sin. But sin, the core of sin is in the heart of unbelief. Right there with unbelief. When you shirk your responsibilities as a Christian or as a husband or a wife or whatever it is, and you know you're not doing well, it's because you have unbelief that's multiplying there in your walk, right? And so you understand, he was tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, learned he obedience by the things he suffered. You know, the scriptures tell us that he was made lower than the angels. Right? He was made lower than the angels for the suffering. But he was given a name above all. So, I'm going to try to paint this picture. He was made lower than the angels. He was made flesh. He was put in a body that could be tempted and pain and hunger and all the sadness and joy. He was put in that, lower than the angels, put in that form. And in that form, he was given a name above all names. Let me ask you something. Aren't you given a new name?
Right.
What form are you in? Lower than the angels. But what kind of name does he give you? He gives you a name above all the angels. You understand?
Right.
Right? A name above all names that was given him. And so he was tempted in all those ways. Brother Ben says, and how can I overcome? He said, there's the real man. The only one, talking about Jesus, there's the real man. There's the only one we can make our example. See, he defeated everything, overcome. He said, look, temptation was for him. Did you know that? The Bible said he was tempted at all points like as we, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. Amen?
Right.
He was tempted by, the devil tried to get him to turn to alcohol and drugs or whatever.
Right?
He was tempted by drinking. If he wasn't, then he's not our kinsman.
Right.
If he wasn't, then he can say, I'll try to help you, but I don't know what it's like. No, he knows what it's like.
Right?
He knows exactly what it's like. He was tempted with drinking. He was tempted with women. Amen?
Right.
Tempted with women. He was a healthy male.
Right?
Or else he wasn't our Savior. Wasn't our Redeemer. He was tempted by everything that can be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man, and yet you couldn't put a mark on him. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Right? Because he knows what it's like. He took our place. Okay. Amen. He took our place. We should have been there, but he did it. Wow. So he was tempted and tested. This is how God came down. God came down in man, in human flesh, to deal with the same human issues that we deal with. Amen? Same things that we deal with. Jehovah became a baby. Get ready. We all have all this expectation in our church for the newborn that's going to be with us here in about 4 weeks, right? Amen. Brother Daniel, he's
amen.
We're looking at that. Jehovah came to this earth like that child would be.
Right.
Totally helpless. Must have someone to wrap it up in warm clothes so that it doesn't freeze. Someone to give it nourishment, to nurse it. That was Jehovah. Jehovah needed his diaper changed. This is how God comes down to fulfill his word. God came down to fulfill his word as Redeemer, and this is how he did it. Became a babe. Baby. Not a baby in a fancy hospital, but a baby over a manure pile, so to speak, in a manger, where the animals are. Right? His humility. This is how God came. God could come down so low that people miss it. Don't ever think he can't come down to you, because he can go so low that you would miss it. He can go so low that you'd never guess it was him. Lower than you. Right? God can come down so low. This is the way he came down. And he was this baby that needed his diaper changed. I don't know what they did for diapers for babies back then. But whatever it was, he needed it. He probably got a rash. They didn't have Destin then. Right? He probably, his parents had to deal with those things. He had to deal with those things. He would get hungry. He probably had tummy aches. Had a fever, right? Here's one that really, really will get you. Did you know that Jehovah, at the age of 8 days old, had foreskin that needed to be circumcised? Think about it. You know the circumcision, that's a type of the sin nature, and so Israel was given the covenant of circumcision. Showing that covenant, because shows the circumcision of the heart, cutting away the fleshly desires of the heart. See, that in itself tells you what happened in the fall, right? But Jehovah had that, because the scripture plainly said they went and circumcised him. I'm trying to show you just how much flesh he was, yet without sin, but he was down there so much like us that he was us, right? Amen. That's how much God came down. Jehovah had to go to school. He had to be taught. Right? He had to be taught. He had to learn lessons. He had to obey his parents. Right? Jehovah came down. Had to obey his parents. And the scripture said he learned obedience. You mean he didn't already know it? God knows all that. But in order for God to come down and redeem you and I, he had to be just like us. So he had to learn. He had to perhaps touch his hand to a hot stove and learn the lesson of it. Right? That's what happened. So let's don't make our problems worse than anybody else's. Because we have one here who can help us. He knows what it's like. You can't go through something he can't help you with. He knows what it's like. He had to learn the things, obedience by the things that he suffered. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to cheat, steal, covet, lust, disobey his parents. In his life, he had those things try to move upon him, and he had to deal with them. Right? Amen. He knows what it's like. He played in the dirt as a little child. After it would rain and there'd be puddles of water, and he'd go out there with a stick and he'd carve little places where the water could drain from one place to another and to another. Maybe put some dirt up to make a dam so he could make a bigger puddle. I mean, believe he did that. See what I'm saying? He did those things. Perhaps as he worked in Joseph's carpentry business, he was a carpenter, obviously, would learn that trade too. And perhaps he hit his hand with a hammer, hurt his thumb, hurt his finger. Trying to make you understand what he was. And in that form, God in that form, God all in all, God in that form became perfect and won our redemption, became the author of eternal, a human became author of eternal salvation, scriptures tell us, right? So in that form, look what he was able to do. And so I asked you that if we're in the same boat, he was in the same boat as us, or we're in the same one he was in, then what can God do in us? Can God come down in us and be in us and fulfill some portion of his plan like he did with Jesus? Of course he can. And we have to understand that. We have to believe that God is in us, moving us and fulfilling some portion of his word. And that's all I want. That's all that I want in this life, is just let me fulfill his purpose in my life and then let me go. That's all I want. Just to do what he wants me to do. It's a lifelong battle. Amen. A lifelong battle. He had wants. He wanted things. If he saw his neighbors, the neighbor children had a toy maybe that he didn't have and they couldn't afford it, it hurt. Perhaps he thought, maybe I could steal it. That all that had to come. He had to overcome those things, right? I'm not making him a sinner. I'm just saying he had to deal with those so he understands what it's like. So he wanted things. He had a will of his own. There were things he had aspirations as a human. He might have wanted to buy that new donkey, the guy down the road. You know, that was his vehicle probably for the day. He wanted to buy, you know, a better vehicle, a better horse or whatever it was. He had desires. He had things like that. And he, you know, had to deal with the disappointments of not being able to get it or whatever. He understood what it meant to have to work for something for it not to go as far as maybe you wanted it to, something to come up to take it and you couldn't use it for what you wanted. He understood all those things. Amen. And so he had a will. You know, when there at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, not my will." Right? He could have married. And physically, from a physical standpoint, he could have married and had children. Because he was man. He had that capability. Right? Amen. He had a will, but he had to say, "Not my will, but thine. Father, thy will." So he had to learn. And so, by age of 12, he already knew who he was. The scripture tells us this. Because whenever he was back, left behind his parent with Joseph and Mary, I keep saying parent, but from the natural, his mom, his Joseph and Mary, when they left and thought he was among their kinfolk, and they went several days' journey and found he wasn't, so they had to turn and go back to Jerusalem, and they went back and they searched for several days, and when they found him in the temple there with the priest, and dealing with what he was sent here to deal with. He was there asking them questions and I guess disputing with them, whatever. And they were baffled, like, where did this boy come from? I mean, how does he know all this and can answer all these questions or whatever and ask these hard questions? How can he do that when he's never learned? What is this? Because at age 12, he already knew. And when Mary said, "What are you doing here? Don't you know that your father," talking about Joseph, "your father and I have sought you with tears looking to find you, and we were worried about you, worried sick about you." His response was, "Might I be about my father's business?" The prophet said, if he was Joseph's son, he'd be back there. My father's business would have been building something, carpenter shop. Jesus already knew what he was, who he was by age 12. Amen. And by learning to who he was. See, I'm telling you, we have to learn who we are, and we do that by finding out who he is, by seeing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we find out who we are, do you know he had to find out who he was? He had to come to that understanding, that revelation as a man. You know, we also come to this place where we understand I am a child of God, I am a son, I'm a daughter of God. You know, that has to come to that place where we know that, we believe that, we're convinced of that by revelation, and we act and walk the rest of our days to fulfill that we have a revelation of. Jesus did the same. He found out who he was. He read by revelation. As a man, just like we would, come to the knowledge to say, hey, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Right? Based upon scriptures.
Right.
And obviously he had the spirit in him, moving him, teaching him, training him. And so by age 12, he already knew. And he went from there, in that revelation, propelled him into obedience of that revelation, to fulfill all the scriptures pertaining to him.
Right.
To save us. Amen. This, he became, by doing that, he became the first fruits. Right? He became the first fruits of everybody else who will come the same way. That's what all that first fruits was about. When the first thing that come, and it's way before, thank you, Lord, for making this portion mature, and the whole rest of the field will come shortly, because this just happens to be the first portion. The rest of it will come by the same process and have the same life and same thing. Amen? Like in our day, a prophet being lifted up like that, and I say lifted up, brought into in Colorado on a mountain and become an adopted son there, a first fruits. There will come one that would be that first fruits, knowing that the rest of us will follow. Right? Jesus was that first fruit that raised from the dead. And so, first fruits of all the rest of them who will follow him and do the same thing he did, the same way he did. By obedience to the word. This is sonship in action. As sons of God, listen, this young one that's going to be born, going to be a little boy, little male, right? Already got in him to be what he is, right? But he can't immediately, day one, manifest full sonship, full abilities. He has to grow into that. And as he grows into that over time, by experiences and by training and by interaction from his parents and from the hard knocks and everything, he will grow into a full, if the Lord tarries, into a full, mature, self-regulated, adult son of his father. And that's what we do. Jesus did is he grew into a mature and fulfilled the word for his day that he was. And he's the first fruits, and we come along and do the same thing. By being children of God and God dealing with us and by exposing us to experiences and to the word and all these things, it molds us and makes us, and we become mature Christian adults, sons and daughters of God in this hour. So that's the way sons do, sonship in action there. So what about us? Have we learned who we are? Did we find out where we come from? We find out we come from the same place Jesus did. That's what the word tells us, right? We come from the same place Jesus did. We find out that when God goes to find this bride for Christ, he goes and looks at the Lamb's Book of Life, where our names were written before the foundation of the world, before we ever came here and did anything good, bad, or indifferent. He doesn't look here to see how well we've been or how good or how bad we've been. He doesn't look there and say, is this the... No, he goes to the Lamb's Book of Life and says, there she is, and that's who she is, based upon that. So we find out. We know where we come from.
Right?
Right? We realize this. As the revelation of Jesus Christ, we understand that. And so wouldn't that revelation propel us to go forth in obedience to fulfill our portion as the bride of Christ, or as sons and daughters of God? Of course it would. And that's exactly what it is. It's what it'll be. See, Jesus was not a sinner, but he took us upon him. He took our sin, I'll say, but he took us upon him. Amen. He wasn't a sinner, but we are sinners.
Right.
We are sinners, but we take him upon us. Right? The scripture says, he became us, right? Sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
Right? And so, what I'm trying to show you here is that God came down to become the Redeemer. Because God was in him and brought that to pass. And also, God comes down and becomes the redeemed. Not just the redeemer, but the redeemed. God has come down in flesh to be the redeemed, like he has come down in flesh to be the redeemer.
Right.
It's exactly what he's done. Because he is all in all. Because if it wasn't him in us doing it, then we would never come. Right? I'm speaking the message. The message said you didn't just get saved, you were always saved. You just didn't know it.
Right.
Why? Because that real you was already recorded way back then. And nothing will ever mar that when you come here. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. See, nothing. That's what the message says. Nothing can stop you, saints. If you clothe yourself with that understanding, with that revelation of I belong to Jesus Christ, I am his, I'm his wife, and I'm going to spend a millennium with him, a honeymoon with him. My name was recorded there. Nothing will change that. It'll do something for you to know that. It ought to mold you and make you into an obedience and a walk that's so closed in with just you and him. Personal relationship so close-knit that you can't do anything without him, and you're constantly thinking on him and looking to obey him and fellowship with him. You're just longing to hear his voice and feel his presence move in your soul and move you and bring new things to understanding and his revelation to you. As it says, rapture chapter that Brother Branham spoke in there. One thing have I desired, and that's what I'll seek after, that is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I just want to know more about him. I just want to, talk to him. I want to experience him. I want to be him. That's rapture. That's that secret room that the Lord said, I'll meet you in there, but no, nobody's going to know about it because it's a personal thing, right? Amen. So we go on to fulfill our part Amen? Because he is all in all. God coming down, being Redeemer and being the redeemed. Brother Ram tells us that Jesus did not bypass his theophany, but we did. Now, theophany, the word body. In that realm, we have a theophany. When we hear the word of God and we realize that's what we feed on, that's evil food, then we're hearing from that representation we have in heaven, like the woman at the well had representation. And because that was already there on that book, written before the foundation of the world, because that was there, when she encountered Jesus, she could recognize Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In her day, she could recognize it, who he was. See? Because she had representation, she could recognize that. Amen. So Jesus came here and did not bypass his theophany. But you and I did, as the prophet said, we bypassed it. We come here to be tempted. So you understand that if we would have come here in our theophany form, theophany can be flesh. You don't have to, you know, it's an appearance of God. But if we would have come here in our theophany, there would have been no temptation. Right? Would have been no temptation in our theophany. So we bypassed it. So now we're here, and now we can be tempted and tested and tried, and we have an affinity to sin because we bypassed our theophany. But Jesus did not bypass his theophany, so he came here. So now, you know, he had a little bit more that could help him there to make him what he was, right? To be Redeemer, being one who was without sin. But the same God come down through this people over here in a different body that was a bypassed theophany for the tempting of sin to be the redeemed. Same God coming down. That's the difference. That's what the prophet was telling us. And that's all. But I ask you, is who were we before we ever became here? And that's who we are after we're done. Same way with him. He said, hey, I come to this world. They hate me. I go back to where I come from. Did you realize we can say that? We come to this world. The world hates us. We're going to go back to where we can say, Father, glorify us with the glory we had before the world was. Right? Because that's exactly where we're going. Amen?
No.
These things ought to matter to us. Amen. This is how God came down and to be our Redeemer, who was not given into sin, but the same God came down to become the redeemed, and we were given to sin, but not in our soul. Catch it? In our soul, the scripture tells us, right? He that's born of God doth not commit sin, for he cannot sin because he's born of God.
Right?
You're born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Can't be corrupted. And the prophet said, all the way at the end, I'm talking about being full beneficiaries of what the message has brought to us. Tells us at the end, right there in invisible union, you never sinned in the first place. You're the sinless, spotless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I said? He's going to have a bride, spot without spot, blemish or anything. And here the prophet standing there with a ministry that only God could do. We know, we're convinced of that, right? And he's telling us, and we have to listen to this. He's telling us that we occupy a very special place in God's economy, that we never sinned in the first place. So he came here in his theophany body, becoming flesh, couldn't be tempted. We bypass our theophany, come here in temptable flesh, and yet we never sin in the first place.
Right.
We're no different than him in our soul.
Right.
Follow me? We come from the same thought of God, spoken by the mouth of God, to become the word of God just like he did. We just come in a different form. To be the redeemed. That he's the redeemer. Amen. That's the only difference. And the plan of redemption and the revelation of Jesus Christ comes along. And at the end, he shows us that it's God all in all, acting out every portion. Amen. Sonship is just growing into the fulfillment of what the Son is to be. Amen. I've been thinking about it for a long time. And you know, it'd be a whole sermon on it. We always say God gives you free moral agency. And he'll never override your free choice. That's right. Okay. Brother Branham on an electric pole going to kill himself. Woke up on the ground. He had a free moral agency. He wanted to touch that, and God overrode it. He wanted to kill those boys that beat him up for carrying girls' books. Gun won't shoot. Put the bullets in and fire every one of them off after the boys are gone. God overrode his will. Follow me? After he was sitting there in the room and he's lost his wife and his baby and he had a gun, was trying to shoot himself and the gun wouldn't go off. Got mad and threw the gun and it shot in the room. God overrode his free moral agency. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'll say this. In your soul, you have a seed that's never sinned. Never disbelieved because it's part of God. God will never override that because he doesn't have to. God does not have to override free moral agency from the soul because that's who you really are. But in your flesh and fallen nature and in your mind that gets all bent out of shape from trials and stuff like that, and you want to do something that's wrong, God can override that. Thank God he has.
Right.
For every one of us. But he doesn't have to override the real free moral agency because that guy never wanted anything except to be obedient in the first place. That's who you are, and that's what's growing into full sonship. That's who you are. So that's how you come forth. Amen? So thank God for God overriding our fleshly desires of things, because we'd kill ourselves, we'd destroy ourselves. Amen? Well, I'm trying to show you who you are. Right, and so we want to quit identifying with a guy that doesn't make mistakes. And also find that little something down inside you that amens the word and has a desire to be like Jesus Christ. Find that and let that be the thing that motivates you. And forget all the other stuff. Right? Forget these other things. That's who you are. If the Lord tarries, and you'll go by the way of grave, we all will if he tarries. So all this stuff that we so tied to is going to go away.
Right.
But what's left is the real you. And that's the thing in this last day. That's the thing that we've got, that's got to become. Because that's Christ. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the real you. That's the part of you that is God. That's the part of you that is God that came down wrapped up in sinful flesh, but that part is not sinful. And you're coming to a birth to that. Amen? Have I said anything that's not in the message yet? You see what I'm saying? Amen. Brother Man says, in overcoming it, how can I overcome? This is a continuation of the quote there when he said you couldn't put a mark on him. Overcoming means... Now listen to this. Overcoming means to recognize the devil and at every one of his tricks. To overcome is to recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. Because if there's one trick you don't recognize, he's got you. But it's to recognize him at all of his tricks. A lot of people say there is no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil. He's just as real as you are, anybody, a real devil, and you must recognize him real. And you must know that he's a devil. And then at the same time as you recognize him that he's a devil and he's against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that the God that's in you is greater and mightier than he is. Right? You got to recognize the God that's in you is greater and mightier than him. That the one that's in you has already overcome him. And by his grace, you are more than a match for him. Amen? So that's what an overcomer is. An overcomer is not a person to run and hide from the devil. An overcomer is to take the word of God, to recognize the tactics of the devil and how he's trying to work in your life, and you fight against that. You combat him, knowing that because he that's in you is greater than him, you are more than a match. You can defeat him any day of the week, twice on Sunday, as I've said in the past. With the word of God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
You can defeat him. Because he that's in you is already overcome by the grace of God. You're more than a match for him. So we must know the devil's tactics. We must know how he comes through spiritual warfare and tries to dupe us spiritually, trick us spiritually. Satan comes in so many forms. I've said it so many times. He doesn't come and say, I'm the devil, I'm here to ruin your day. He comes through subtlety. He comes through seducing. He comes with something that might feel good to some portion of you, but not to your soul, not to the word, not to the seed of God in there. But he comes to your outward man, to the flesh or to your mind. He comes with something to woo you, something to seduce you, to trick you and draw you into being bound with up with whatever he's trying to put into your life. You understand? You must know how he fights against you and his tactics and his spiritual influences to come to you, and you have to fight it. When you begin to feel sad, or you begin to feel depressed, or you begin to feel anxious, you have to say, listen, I know there's a devil. He's a real devil, and I must know he's real. And I know he's against me, and I know he's coming at me, and he's trying to make me feel sad. He's trying to discourage me. He's trying to make me have anxiety. He's trying to do all that. And you have to recognize that's the devil, and I'm resisting that. See? There's only so much that people outside can help you, and there's only so much that God can do if you don't believe his word. But you've got to recognize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when Satan tries to put this stuff on you, you've got to do the opposite of what he's trying to get you to do. So if he's trying to make you depressed and you want to pull yourself away and hide and be alone by yourself, and that's where the environment of being depressed can multiply, you've got to do the opposite. See, when Satan comes and you know he's trying to do something contrary to the word, do the opposite of what he's trying to get you to do. Fight him. Because if you don't fight him, he's going to mop the floor with you every day. Fight him. Take this word and stick that sword in his face and swing it. That's what you've got to do. Because if you don't, you're not going to be an overcomer. Don't pull yourself away if you feel sad and that's what makes you weak. You know, there's a seducing. Hey, I went through this. I've had times where I felt depressed. I think all of us have. Brother Brent said it's an aging neurotic. Right? He knew what he's talking about. He could see it in its infant form. What would he say now? Right? But I've had those things happen before. And you know, I said, well, it goes seducing. There is a seducing feeling to feel sorry for yourself. There's something about it somewhere that feels good, or you wouldn't do it. But you have to know that it's Satan taking you down a road to destroy your life. That's why when this, you know, music, rock music and stuff, the spirit's behind that stuff. And I've told you, I can I can go somewhere and hear a song that I listened to when I was in the world, and I instantly feel that same spirit that I once entertained. Trying there, it's right there, and he just wants you to start going along with it.
Yeah.
He just wants you to. That's it. What is a spiritual influence? You should have nothing to do with it. When he tries to do that, you pick up a song of the gospel and you defeat that when that song's trying to come into your head. That happens all the time. I have no desire to listen to that stuff, but those things will still try to come. And it's like, where did that come from? And why is that trying? I have, that's filth. Then I pick up a song and start singing a gospel song to defeat that. I did it this morning. To defeat the devil. Because if you give him a little room, he'll just go ahead and next thing you know, you won't know where you'll wind up. And I see that happening in messing people's lives. You've got to start fighting. You've got to start recognizing that God is in you and can whip the devil anytime, but you have to act it out. You have to swing the sword. Right? You have to put the armor on and fight. Amen. Yeah, I've had that. You know, some of my background that I, growing up and some of the things that went on when I was living in Little Rock, and you think, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show them. They're going to treat me like that. I'll show them. I'll take my life. I'll do that, and then they'll see where it's at. It's a devil. There's a devil doing that. He tries to tell you stuff like that. There's no life in it. I remember early on, years ago, when something would really aggravate me, and I'd have this feeling come over me, go get something, some alcohol to drink. And by the grace of God, as a sinner, it come to my mind and said, that's the devil trying to make an alcoholic out of you. By the grace of God, or I'd be there. Right? I have nothing I can boast in. I'm telling you the truth. By his... That came to me, and he kept me from that. But there's a lot of people that they have to go down that road, and they've got to realize there's a devil, and he's real, and he's out to get you, and you have to defeat him by doing the opposite of what, by taking this word and doing the opposite of what he wants you to do. Quit giving in to him. I'll say this, you've given in to him over and over and over, and it always winds up worse, you know, and by the grace of God, God will bring you back and straighten you out, and then you give in again. At some point, you have to find out and realize that if I touch that stove again, it's going to burn me. There's one way to overcome. Amen? That's to realize the devil's there, out to get you, and you can defeat him, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He that's in this, but you can't play with him. Can't play patty cake with him. You got to defeat him.
Right.
It really bothers me. I'm sure it does, Brother Daniel, as a minister, to see people, and you know Satan's, and it's like, just please, please, pick up the word and stick it in his face and proclaim your victory. Claim that word. Just, you know, by stripes I'm healed. And they won't do it. And you preach it, and you tell it, and you live it, and you try, and they won't do it. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Brother, sister, God's not coming for weaklings.
No.
He's coming for a full, mature bride who can thoroughly unite with him and produce his children, or he's coming for sons of God who can handle the business. Amen. That's, you know what? It seems to me like I preach the same thing every week, because that's where we're at.
Right.
Is he's coming for some overcomers.
Right.
When the Son of Man cometh, shall I find faith? You bet he will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe I'm looking at a people who can be that.
Amen.
Amen. Let me encourage you. Pick up that word. Use it. opposite of what he's trying to get you to do. You know, somebody aggravates you and you want to fly off the handle, do the opposite. Mm-hmm. Say something nice to them. Go do something for them. At some point, when the devil tries to boo and he gets you to flinch, and as long as you flinch, he'll keep going boo. But when he goes boo and you don't flinch and you laugh at him, he starts getting scared.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's not working anymore. Can't do that. My wife and I, we're having to put these eye drops in the dog's eyes because she got something in there she can't see out of that one eye. And we're putting these antibiotics in there like that, and we have to put them in there several times a day. First couple of times, you know, hey, come here, you know, she come up, you know. After a couple of times, no way. I know what you're up to. That ain't working. She's, you know what I'm saying? Why can't we be that way with the devil? Why can't we say, you know what? You tried that last week. You tried to get me to click on something I shouldn't click on, and I did. And I felt miserable until I repented. And now you're here trying to do the same thing? No, I'm not doing it.
Right?
Do the opposite of what he's trying to influence you. How do you know if it's the devil or not? If it's contrary to the word of God, it's the devil.
Right.
It's simple. Amen? Do not let yourself be beguiled of the simplicity of this gospel. Because it works. It'll keep you. But you got to put it into action the way God has given it to us. Amen. Amen. So, let me make sure I've covered all the details of, you know, my wife was telling me about some people that she has read about for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. We have no problems compared to some people. Some people has got children, you know, that's been in an accident and they're left, and then now the dad's got cancer and can't hardly, about to die. And I said, we don't have problems. Some people have problems.
Right.
And we have really blessed lives, and then somehow Satan convinced us we're terrible, we're miserable, and my life is awful. It's not.
Right.
Everybody in this room is blessed.
Right.
All of us, over and over and over, blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. God has invested a lot in us for a reason, right? You know, Malachi, you will grow forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Calves in the stall are special fed. And that's scripture.
Right.
In conjunction with the coming of Elijah. Brother, sister, we are fed. We are fed. And sometimes we forget it. We are fed. God has a special purpose for that calf in the stall, right? And I say that when that time comes, I was listening to the prophet the other day, and he said, Lord, he said, there's only one of two things that can happen. One of them is you're going to move, and you're going to have a people rise up for a quick, powerful, once again, demonstration of a church, a mighty church of God. You'll either do that, or you'll come. One or the other. I want either one. I'll let him choose. I'll take either one. I'd like to see a mighty move. Right? I'd like to see all of this food that he's been feeding us in a special condition. I'd like to see whatever that reason is that he gave it to us for. Right. Might just be body change. But it might be something where we might be able to reach out and help some people have some revival again. Maybe not a nation worldwide, but maybe, you understand? Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and the musicians come. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity this morning to be here with your people. Lord, you know they're the apple of your eye. You know the love that the ministry in this church has for them. Pray, God, that you just bring clarity to everything said this morning. May they be encouraged to know greater is you that's in them than anything that's in this world. We appreciate all that you do for us, Lord. We appreciate every time you move upon us and drop a word in our hearts to share with your people. Appreciate it, Lord. We give honor and praise to you because it only belongs to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.